This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute.
Hey boo, it's me, Roz. Halloween is over. Thank you for sticking around. I have a conversation with Matt Bronger coming at you. Before we get into that, well, first of all, a bunch of people sent me, what a lovely way to start my November. A bunch of people sent me a clip from recent guest and one of my favorite comedians of all time, Patton Oswalt, on Jimmy Kimmel Live, dropping my name and this podcast. And he was talking about eBay haunted dolls. And that was so cool. Thank you, Patton. He's the best. But I wanted to read a ghost story that was sent to me from a listener, and it was left in a 5-star review, which you could do as well if you want me to read one of your ghost stories. Put it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, or you could just leave a 5-star review. Anyway, okay, so this one comes from Janine, and it says, "This happened in my basement apartment in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. I was having an afternoon nap in my bedroom. I was dreaming that I was fighting someone while I was working. At the time, I was a police officer. In my dream, I was physically fighting. Someone was holding me back with their arm across my chest. In my dream, I could feel the pressure on my chest, and I woke up laying in my bed. I could still feel the pressure on my chest. There was a boy, approximately 8 to 10 years old, sitting on my chest, screaming in my face. I could not hear anything, but I could see him clearly. He had a black and white checkered flannel shirt, wavy hair. As I woke up, he became more transparent until I could no longer see him. The more awake I became, the more freaked out I was. As I woke up, I could no longer see him, but I could feel his presence in the room. I knew exactly when he left the room, but did not see him go." Oh my God. The craziest thing is that this was in the afternoon, and this little boy with his flannel on is just screaming in your face. Okay, who's ghost child? Get your ghost child, ghost parents, if you're listening. All right, because this sounds like when I go to Target. Every time I go to Target, there's always some little kid running around, going through my shopping basket. Get your ghost children. They shouldn't be climbing up on people when they're taking naps. That's my message for ghost parents. Okay, Matt Bronger's on the show today. You know him from his many television appearances and his hilarious stand-up. He has a new special out called Doug. He'll tell you about that at the end of our conversation. So let's just do it. Let's go for it. Go to patreon.com/rozdresfiles. Link in the description of this episode to listen to full-length episodes. I just did one about Massachusetts spookiness. Also, check out the video versions of these episodes. The one with Curly dropped last week, and the one with Matt will be out any day now on YouTube. Okay, here we go. Time for some Matt Bronger. On with the show.
You guys, I'm joined by Matt Bronger. Hello.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Yeah, cool.
It's Halloween time.
It is.
You're a horror fan.
Huge, yes.
What's the best horror movie you've seen in 2022?
Wow. Well, it's November, so I must have seen my one for the year, I think, was X. I think it was
Me
incredible.
Me too. Now, what do you think of Pearl?
I liked Pearl a lot. And it really, I didn't know what to expect. And I will say, I don't like prequels, generally speaking. I want to, it's like, keep the act moving. I don't want to know how, you know, what wood the barn was built from that we're having this hoedown in. But I did like it. I think Mia Goth is just bananas talented.
She will win an Oscar one day.
Yeah. Not for that, because it's too it's
but
too
like
dark,
when the credits are rolling, I mean,
oh my god, yeah, that last shot.
She takes you for a ride. She does that monologue. It's like, I think, just one take.
Yeah, that blew me away.
X, I'm obsessed with.
Me too.
I can't wait for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Barbarian?
No, I haven't seen it yet. And my friend wrote it and directed it. Zach Kreger from The Whitest Kids. You know, when I was. Trying to kind of break into the New York comedy scene. I'd already been in LA for a while, and I was kind of just like, more trying to get club owners to notice me. I opened for them for a couple weekends, and they were just like, great, yeah, come on. And their fans were like super cool to me. And so I've had some real fun times with that guy, and he's like a good dude.
I didn't realize it was a comedy person.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a sketch group called The Whitest Kids You Know.
Right.
And he was always he went on to be in like movies and various TV shows and things, and I just, it's one of those things that just popped up where, you know, when you see someone you know on the liner, the announcement or something, you're like, wait, is that the same person
I know?
So I was like, whoa, and I just DM'd him and I was like, congrats, and he's like, thanks, man, it's been a long time, blah blah blah. So yeah, wow. I just,
what's like Jordan Peele? I mean, what is it about funny people that could be so scary?
I think we find things. I think it's like we're funny because we find the interesting, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
And to me, horror, because the stakes are so high, it's just unabashedly so schlocky in its own way, and because it's disrespected on the same level that stand-up is, and both of them kind of should be, which good, you know.
Yeah.
That lends itself. One lends itself to the other.
I think. I've always, like, one thing I always loved about horror is like, everyday life is being flipped on its head for some reason,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a ghost or it's a killer or something is being flipped in the world that we are used to. And I feel like comedy, too, it's like finding the funny in something that we're used to. It's like just looking at things in a deeper way, maybe.
Yeah, and also what we do is kind of horrifying. To get on stage in front of a bunch of strangers.
It is terrifying.
Yeah, Dana Gould had the best line about, like, you have to be you have to take the mental health level, I'm butchering his thing, but it's like, of, with a grain of salt, of people who get on stage for a living and beg for love from strangers. Like, we're kind of imbalanced. We kind of have something in common with that person who's like, you know, why does this person go kill?
Right.
Is it to be noticed? Is it to make their mark? Is it, you know?
So you're saying Michael Myers should have just been Mike Myers? Like,
maybe
he should have just gone.
Yeah, but I think he'd be more like a Stephen Wright type, just like one Myers.
Right. Yeah, because he's pretty
very dry. Yes, very dry.
Deadpan.
I don't know exactly why. I just grew up reading horror and really getting, you know, I was a kid of the 80s, so just seeing those posters and being like, what is that movie?
Yeah.
Like, this is making everything else look uninteresting to me because that looks really fucked up and interesting.
So are you, when it comes to paranormal,
mm-hmm.
what do you think of all that stuff?
I don't, generally speaking, like, I'm not what I call a hardcore believer, but I do, and, you know, let's get deep. I do talk to God. I do, as I was raised very, should just say Christian, but it's, I would say very progressive Christian, but that sounds alien now. you know, where I grew up in a church that was burned down in the 30s for allowing black parishioners and had gay members of the flock and wow. all manner of people, which is weird because it was almost like an anti-Catholic Catholic church. It's still there.
Where is this?
And it's in Portland, Oregon. It's called St. Andrews. And it's like I don't go to church because I will say this. My hardest thing is not so much the belief in the divine. My hardest thing is congregation. Is standing with a bunch of people going, we all believe this, right?
Right.
It would
be
as hard for me as standing around and going, the best band of all time is 1, 2, 3. Everyone say the best band. We know the best band. Even no matter what you say, I'm going to be like, yeah, sometimes. Right. But other times I like this band. I don't want to listen to Queen all the time.
I mean,
yes, there's no nuance. And I feel like God is bigger than a name, bigger than a face, bigger than a sex, bigger than an individual. It's like an energy, but like even I don't like saying that necessarily. But I think there's we've just through biology we know there's far more that we can't see that's there. I think the biggest argument for any kind of paranormal thing that I've ever heard of is an event that was so, say, traumatic hard or amazing or whatever, like it left the person's death left a stain in some way where they could, you know, we're you know, like the same person keeps seeing this woman in a garter going up the stairs. You saw her too? What'd she do? She turned around, she looked at me. And to me, it's almost like, oh, you're seeing a spiritual photograph. So that's an argument I've heard that I'm like, oh, I could see that.
Well, and it might not even be a death. You know, it's like we all, I think, have been told from movies or whatever that it's just like someone died right here. And now they're – but like it could just be like she had a great day one day and that good mood is just chilling on the staircase.
Uh-huh. Yes. That's when her horrible, miserly husband – fell down the stairs and died, and no one knew how happy she was. She hid it, and it took everything in her to not smile.
See, I was thinking recently, like, I am so, like, I'm against the grain. I'm not like everyone else. I feel like if I died in a place, I would purposely not haunt it so that everyone would think, everyone would want me to. Like, that's what you want me to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
I always felt like people looked at ghosts as being scary for the wrong reasons. To me, people were always like, oh, that ghost is going to kill me. That ghost is trying to make me stay with it all that forever. And I was like, no, if I saw a ghost, my heart would break because I'd be like, oh, that can happen? You can just be stuck in this fucking house? That
it's
is so depressing. So depressing. You know you want to leave. Yeah. There's a family that moves in, and all you keep thinking about is your family that you'll never see again. Are they ghosts like me? You know, look at me. Hey.
Yeah.
Free me. Do a ritual. Something. Send me somewhere else. This sucks. I'm tired of this house. I hate the paintings you've put up. They're so
exactly.
bad.
That is not what my house was supposed to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. So that to me, an eternity just in a house and being invisible, I would go insane.
That's why they always say that when people start refurbishing houses, that's when, like, the ghosts come out.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
That or, like, I don't know. I always think of... I think there are some ghosts that are like, this is the gig of a lifetime. This is so fun.
Sure.
I could just creep people out all day. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other ones where I think it is. Yeah, it's like they're stuck. They're just.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like hell.
It does. But, you know, the thought just came to me that I haven't had before, which is maybe they kind of have the memory of fish, you know, where they don't. It's just it's the same 5 seconds over and over and they never know. So they're just around. But
so maybe they're not.
They don't have the same sense of time as us.
Right.
Kind of thing. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of different ways it can exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I think about, like, I was just thinking about vampires, and it's like vampires love to be like, oh, I'm going to live forever. Like, have you heard of global warming? Like, that's not the brag.
You don't want to be around when
I don't want to be around for the next 200 years.
Husk. No. Yeah. And that's a good point. It's you'd think vampires would be out at the front lines of the climate crisis. They wouldn't just be throwing eggs on paintings. They'd be like, look, I didn't want to come out like this, but I'm real. Okay? I feast on the blood of the innocent. It tastes the best.
Why are they so quiet? It's because they're nocturnal. So
that would be interesting if all of these monsters come out of the woodwork and just go, listen, we usually prey on you. but we need this.
We all need to come together.
We need this big blue marble just as bad as you do. Okay. Yeah. I talked to the werewolves. They never come out, you know, and they're furious. And they're going to start really. They usually kill roughly a dozen campers per park. And they just save the meat. You know, it's all this stuff in there. And
well, where's Bigfoot? Bigfoot's the one. Her house is getting torn down every day.
It's true. Well,
where's Bigfoot?
There was a guy that I remember reading about the news in Oregon when I was a kid who he fully claimed he got captured by a family. Of Sasquatch,
and
like he was their kid's pet. They keep him in a cage, and the kid would take him out.
Oh, that's
and
amazing!
Run him around and shit. And he's like, look, and he's like, he was like in his 40s.
He escaped.
Yeah, he escaped. He escaped by he found berries that would poison them, and they got sick.
Stop!
And he broke out of his cage.
And where's
and
the
ran.
Bodies?
Where it's like of course he took them back to where they were, and they've brushed the ground, and they've. I mean, I was just like, look, even if, which of course he was, just saying that to get attention, God bless him. God bless him.
I believe
for
him.
For making his own little
I choose
corner
to believe
of the
him.
Sky.
Well, let me tell you about somebody I recently heard about.
Okay.
This story has been making the rounds. This was on a ABC affiliate called WFAA, and it's a house in Gainesville, Texas, where this woman named Linda Hill, she owns it, and here's just a quick little news report.
Okay. It's like a revolving door. The longest anyone stayed in this house was 6 months.
Linda Hill says she and her husband had no idea why.
In the mirror.
After 10 tenants moved out in less than 2 years, someone told them, it was haunted. Did you actually believe that?
No.
That changed while she was taking a shower.
And I was in here.
Through the curtain, a dark figure whispered, looking good.
And then he turned and walked off.
Linda assumed it was her husband until her husband walked in.
And he said, who were you talking to? And it was like, oh my God.
He swore it wasn't him.
It really is haunted.
Rumor has it, the house used to be a bordello, which may explain why the ghosts here are, how do I say this?
Sexual.
Okay.
No other way to put it.
Audio recordings have caught the ghosts talking dirty.
Oh baby, yeah. Yeah, I like it like that.
And I would like to talk about something else, like this door, which is pretty snug. Even when Linda pounds it shut, it finds a way to open. For those reasons and many more, Linda gave up on finding tenants and gave the house a name.
Okay, so that's pretty much it.
Okay. I mean, I'm not laughing at that poor older woman getting...
Oh, baby.
Well, and just the idea of a ghost going... looking good.
And
just leaving the room. Just a creep ghost.
As she's
like,
naked.
Really?
I mean, there's a part of me, I feel like I've been guilty of being like, someone just said I was so hot. Like, can you guys believe that? Like, someone was just hitting on me.
The ghosts won't shut up about how hot I am.
Yeah. Well, I looked up a little bit about this house. So it was built in the mid-1850s. It was said to be a bordello and a speakeasy at one point. It was purchased in 2004 by Linda Hill. She rented it out as a series of apartments, but people kept breaking their leases. There's a room in the downstairs area known as the dead area, where electricity does not run through. I don't know why. According to legend, during the bordello days, two men got in a fight over one of the ladies that was working there, and it ended in a death. In the upstairs room, there's a cat ghost that has been recorded meowing, and people report feeling it brush by their legs. There's a cowboy ghost that scratches ladies, and there's a room with ample amounts of X-rated audio recordings from ghosts that have been captured in that room, and men report feeling, quote, curious and pleasurable sensations as if being touched by the ghosts.
Wow.
So there's some horny stuff going on in Gainesville, Texas.
The cowboy scratches them.
Yep.
Okay. Now, does the cowboy have, like, lacquered nails? Because I'm asking.
No.
I mean, look, it could be a bordello
stiletto
that caters
tits.
To all sorts of types.
Right.
You know? Like a real butch type dude that's a little bit more metro.
Yeah.
And has these nails.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
I know a couple of cowboys that wear acrylic nails.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure.
I know that type.
Good. I mean, I just feel like it's... pretty progressive for that era. You know, like you hear that to me is like my favorite kind of like I love quote unquote, I hate the term, but like deviant history. Where you find out about like some
yeah, but I don't want to hear about think about like my grandparents, the stuff that used to go down. Or...
No, well, the thing in our grandparents' days, it was common as all hell. Where it was like, you know, if I was of that era and like I had a son, you'd be like, "Oh, take him bordello," so he learns. Yeah. You just did it. It's kind of one of those things, and like, not to be like, "Oh, it was so much more of a better time sexually." Oh, no, not at all. But it was interesting that you would have to have this – it's almost like letting the steam out where – not yeah. for, like, young men necessarily, but for everybody where it's like, I'm a housewife. I don't like dudes. I love my husband for who he is, but I got to go dancing down at Lydia's at least once
okay.
a week or, you know, that kind of thing, which went yeah. on all the time. I mean
– totally.
During World War II when all the guys went away to fight, there was just – rampant hookups in the suburbs.
Bordellos.
Yes.
I love that word, too.
Yeah, bordello is so good.
Have you ever seen Bordello of Blood?
Yes.
The Tales from the Crypt.
That's a fun one.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, this... So, okay, so if we go back to that theory of, like, a ghost being stuck in a place, so mm-hmm. there's, like, maybe some guy that was there that maybe it's the guy that died in this fight over one of the ladies that worked at the bordello, and now he just gets to stare at this woman when she showers?
I think it's kind of hilarious poetic justice that it's just the Johns.
Right.
There's no actual sex
ladies,
workers.
Yeah,
the ladies
they got
there.
Out.
It was just dudes that – just the ghosts of drunk, horny dudes.
Oh, baby, oh,
I
baby.
I would so much rather the women.
Yeah.
Just chilling, you know, having their time.
Seriously, these guys that are just there, like
– Hey, I paid my money. I'm going to
yeah,
watch
exactly.
you shower. Listen.
Oh,
you paid
no.
18 cents in your day. You're going to have to pay a little bit more to watch me in the shower, okay?
But they shared this on The View, and Joy Behar said that she has had sex with ghosts after this aired, after they were talking about it, and she's like, I've had sex with ghosts. And then it just kind of, like, they let that slide, but it was, like, it made headlines, and people kept sending me, like, Joy
yes.
Behar had sex with ghosts.
I remember that. Yeah. That's been, yeah.
So I don't know. Okay, let me tell you about another thing. This is... a story about a painting called The Hands Resist Him. It's a haunted painting.
Okay.
So let me give you a little presentation here.
Okay.
The year was 2000. Cargo pants, as far as the eye can see. A dozen eggs were going for 89 cents. And a haunted painting on eBay sold for $1,050.
Wow.
Sorry, I thought the song was going to go... I thought it was going to go more smooth, actually. So the seller on eBay put up this painting. It was a bidding war. Over 30,000 people were looking at it. It started at $199. And this painting, the reason it was such a... great thing in 2000 was because the person that posted it wrote, when we received this painting, we thought that it was really good art. A picker had found it in an abandoned brewery behind it. At the time, we wondered a little why. We wondered a little why a seemingly perfect fine painting would be discarded like that, but now we don't. Okay, let me show you what it looks like.
Yeah, I want to see this thing.
So this is the famous painting.
Okay.
The Hands Resist Him. Now, it's really creepy. It's a little
yes.
boy. Now, this is like a doll girl.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have any eyeballs. And then there's these hands reaching through the glass. I don't know, this little moon up there.
Yes.
Okay, so
and the boy has like a 45-year-old face.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
He's kind of got like he's receding hairline.
Yeah, it's like a mechanic.
So it says, the people that posted it wrote, one morning our 4.5-year-old daughter claimed that the children in the picture were fighting and coming into the room during the night.
Jesus.
Now, I don't believe in UFOs or Elvis being alive, but my husband was alarmed. To my amusement, he set up a motion-triggered camera for the nights. After three nights, there were pictures. The last two pictures shown here are from that stakeout. After seeing the boy seemingly exit the picture under threat by the girl, we decided the painting has got to go. Please judge for yourself before you do. Okay, so this is their photos they believe depict the girl, her little thing that she's holding morphed into a gun.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And she's like trying to creep out the little boy. Mm-hmm. And then they took this picture that they believe suggests that the little boy was actually leaving the painting.
Yeah. It just looks like the light is moved. Her face looks different, though, a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, they can move and do whatever they want on the painting.
Wow.
This was all found behind a brewery. So the history of the painting. So it was done by somebody named William Stoneham. He was contracted by the Charles Feingarten Galleries in Beverly Hills in 1972. This was the only piece in his entire show that was sold. He eventually took a break from painting to work for Industrial Light and Magic and LucasArts Entertainment, but he since has returned. The inspiration was a photograph of him when he was 5 years old. He's quoted as saying that the hands in the glass are the other lives. The glass door is the thin veil between waking and dreaming. The girl doll is the imagined companion or guide through this realm. So many people have reported that by looking at this painting, they have had all kinds of sensations, including fainting, feeling their throats tighten up, crying for no reason. Their children are acting crazy when they see it. Author D.K. O'Neill wrote a fictionalized book about the painting, and he says that he printed off a copy of it. He went out of town. He comes back after a month. His whole house, his air conditioning went crazy. His whole house is covered in green mold, except for the painting.
Whoa.
The art critic who first reviewed the art gallery show in 1972 shortly died after, and the gallery owner also died after them. But as I was reading this, I'm like, they died like 5 years after.
I mean, it was like, people die.
People die.
Yeah. That's...
The man who originally bought it apparently had sold it, and then he died later.
Okay.
But so I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know.
This doesn't seem like King Tut's.
But the guy that did buy it, his name was John Marley. He was an actor who was in The Godfather, who I believe he was the man that had the horse head next to him.
Oh, who played the studio exec, or the head of the studio or whatever.
I guess. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. But apparently that's the man that originally bought it. And then like a couple of years later, he died.
Okay.
It was bought by a guy from my hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it's currently in the back room of his gallery. And he hasn't had anything supernatural happen.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm kind of not convinced on this one.
No, it's just everything's just a little bit too. I mean, you know, kids do nothing but lie. They just think it's interesting to just be.
Yeah,
like,
this is kind of based on the children.
Yeah.
Saying that they saw it, the kids leaving the painting.
Yeah, I mean it's a messed up thing. If this thing, these kids are coming out of the painting to mess with your
kids. I love the idea.
That's horrifying. Yeah. But then the stop action thing, and it's just like, well, you kind of zoomed in, and that's a trickery of light.
It looks like there's a light on the little boy
and
not the little girl.
Where the part of the picture you zoomed in on, you did that so it looks – it's like, I don't know. I saw – it's not – there's – no, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not really buying it.
Okay, now I feel like if something bad happens to us, I apologize that I showed you this painting.
We looked at it?
Please don't.
I've looked at so many things that are supposedly cursed.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay, like what?
Haven't you? No, just pictures of
– there's some things I'm afraid of. No, there's things that – trust me, people bring up to me all the time, you should cover this on the show. I won't. Because I read about it, and I know my ass. I'm going to, on the show, be making fun of how silly this little doll looks or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, pretty, like some things I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of, because I have looked up curses and stuff, and like, for example, James Dean's car, that is a terrifying one.
Yeah.
So many people have passed that involved in that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me tell you about a place that is believed to be evil.
Okay.
It's right in our backyard. Los Feliz, California.
That's where I live.
The Los Feliz Murder House.
Yes.
Are you familiar?
I used to live around the corner. Yeah. I lived on Rowena, and that side street that goes right up, it's right on that same street as the old monastery.
Oh, you're thinking, okay, wait. There's a couple of Los Feliz Murder Houses.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Manson one.
You're thinking of that one, which I also used to live. For 6 years, I lived right there as well.
Amazing.
So, do you know who Zach Bagans is?
No.
He hosts the show Ghost Adventures.
Okay,
he's,
yes.
He's
okay.
Like,
I've seen him.
Paranormal bad boy.
Right,
like,
sure,
he's
sure.
Like the like paranormal guy.
Yeah.
And he buys like lots of murder stuff.
Oh.
He likes that kind of a thing. Ooh. He bought that house.
Wow.
And then he sold it shortly thereafter. But there's the other Los Feliz murder mansion,
okay,
which is, it's more like by the Greek, kind of.
Oh, okay.
It's more in that area.
Yes.
So the story basically is this doctor in 1959 killed his wife, tried to kill his children, killed himself, and then the house just stayed empty until, like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something?
Right.
Which is empty for years. And then it's, like, been sold a few times and nobody's really – I think that there's just so many repairs and stuff that need to be done. They kind of stripped it down to the studs and it's, like – I think it might be up for sale still because they're just, like – first of all, it's called the Murder House.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants to live there. But also, like, it's millions of dollars of things that need to be done to it.
Wow.
So Zach Bagans also – went to this house and did an investigation.
Okay.
And he believes that it's evil.
Okay.
And I watched the special. It's a two-part special. I watched the first part. At one point, he's walking up the stairs and he experiences a gust of wind that smells like sulfur.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And he goes, "Do you guys smell that?" And they're like, "No." But he says that it's that there's an evil in this house.
Okay.
So this clip was just posted by TMZ from the part two.
Okay.
They think that they caught a ghost chair using their technology. What is this technology called? It's like a 3D laser scan called LIDAR. And this is something. I think this is interesting.
Okay.
What is going on right now? What are you here? Make sure you get over here.
And you can actually see the trajectory in the green line. For all of our scans, you can actually do a trajectory to follow where the scanner went. So that's how we can eliminate noise that is the person who's physically scanning. And
what is that?
On the left, it looks like a chair, is what it looks like to me.
The guys are absolutely baffled because the laser scan is showing a phantom chair in one of the rooms.
Almost looks like a chair.
It looks like a chair. It does look like a chair.
As the team describes this ghostly chair, they show us what an actual real chair would look like on the scan. They now demand to go back inside to see if there is indeed a chair in that room.
Yeah, it's in this little back room back here.
Yeah, right here.
So
it would be right here, right?
Yeah, it was about.
Oh my God! No way! No way! There's no chair.
No, there's nothing here.
So I don't know. Ghost chair.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah. I wish I knew anything about that technology.
This is what the house looks like.
Yeah, that looks like been somewhere in my neighborhood for sure. And that's, but it's. Our house is below, like a block below Los Feliz, which is great. It's where I want to live. But when you go north of Los Feliz,
that's where they are.
Super money.
Yes.
So,
well, also, you know the House on Haunted Hill house? The original House on Haunted Hill?
Oh, yeah. I've walked by it.
Yeah.
Way up there.
I love that house.
It's incredible.
It's right behind this house. And the crazy thing is, they were filming that movie when the family lived there.
Whoa.
1959.
I've seen this house. I've walked by that house.
This house is like, it's on like a little cold, like a little dead end street. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been to it many times. I've been so fascinated by this house for years because people used to, they used to say that like, because people have broken in a million times or like jumped the fence, and people used to take pictures of like, there's still Christmas presents because it happened during Christmas time. And like, there's all these like old relics from the family. It's like the perfect like scary movie thing. I don't know. But yeah, this technology, okay, so it uses laser to scan objects or surfaces by measuring the time it takes for the reflected light to bounce back. So it's basically 3D laser. I don't know any. Those chairs seem to disappear on the laser scan despite there being no seat in the actual scanned room. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where it just seems like ghosts, if they're real, are kind of just fucking with us. Where it's like, give them a chair. Oh, my God.
Right.
It's not anything like a dead man or, you know, a screaming headless lady or something. It's just like a chair.
Because I wonder, like, you would think of a ghost as being something connected to a soul.
A living thing. Yes. At but least like, to give me a dog or something. Yeah.
I don't know. It could be. Especially because it's empty. The house is currently empty. So maybe, like, the chair that's been there for 60 years somehow.
And, like, you know, what we were talking about, impressions, it's like, even if that is like, let's say that's a real thing, leaving an impression behind. Yeah. We don't know how that works. Maybe that was a chair that someone would go sit in and cry a long, long time, or was tied to and beaten and killed, or to get dark, you know, or maybe someone had some real, real good sex in that chair, you know, like you don't know to
could
go
be.
On the positive thing. So it's like that could have been an evil chair or a fun chair or a.
A sexy chair.
Sexy chair.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. You're looking good, chair.
Do you want to hear some ghost voices?
Yes, I do.
Okay, it's time for
EVPs
or EV Please. Have you ever heard of EVP?
Yes.
Electronic voice phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So it's when people, like Zach Bagans, believe that they've captured a ghost speaking. Mm-hmm. I go to YouTube.com and I type in EVPs.
Nice.
I find people's EVPs from all over the country, sometimes the world. And I'm going to play you two, and I want you to tell me what you believe this ghost is saying.
Okay.
And then I'll give you some options. Yeah, we'll put on these headphones.
Okay.
Okay, so this first one comes from... Haunted or not, question mark. And it was recorded by Bi-State Paranormal at the McPike Mansion in Alton, Illinois. What is this ghost saying? Damn.
It sounded like he's saying it's great. Like he just ate a donut. He's like, it's great. Great.
It's really deep.
Really? Ooh, that's creepy. That's real creepy.
I hear Ben Vereen.
I think you're right. It sounds like Ben Vereen.
Okay. Is it A, I need a break? B, hungry? C, Henry? Or D, it's just like somebody's stomach growling.
Hmm. Now that you said the hungry or the Henry, I'm going to go hungry.
They believe it's Henry.
Okay.
I don't know who Henry is, but wait, what is this? Okay, the Mike Pike Mansion. Is there a Henry? Oh, there was. Okay, it was originally, the owner of the mansion was Henry Guest McPike.
Whoa.
So maybe it was him or somebody with a deep-ass voice talking to him. Okay, next one. This is from Aaron Kindle, and it was in their house. What's it saying?
Whoa.
That's kind of a longer one.
Yeah.
I think that they edited the sound probably to level it out and sound better, so it's a little...
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But okay. you have any guesses?
It's just so many syllables.
I know.
It's yeah. I
can give you some suggestions.
Okay, great.
Or some choices.
Okay.
Okay. Is it A, I'll be up in the club? Is it B, help me, Melinda, fuck? Is it C, excuse me, are you a schmuck? Schmuck? Did I say that right? Schmuck?
Yeah, schmuck. Yeah, you know.
Is it D, I'm beat, let's end this, please?
I like B and D.
Okay, let's play. Help me, Melinda, fuck, or I'm beat, let's end this, please.
You know, I think it's help me, Melinda, fuck. It's very kind of warped sounding,
uh-huh.
Probably because it's come from the spirit realm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's like... It's like a very sardonic person dying or something.
Help me, Melinda. Fuck.
Like, and just like, and he's asked a couple times.
Yes,
like
she's frozen. Melinda.
She's frozen in the doorway.
Fuck.
He was like, help, Melinda. And then it was just like, help me, Melinda. Fuck.
Yes,
and then he just,
exactly.
And he kicked it.
That's what they believe it says.
Amazing.
Help me, Melinda. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, he knows Melinda's not going to help him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that concludes that.
That was awesome.
Let's do one last thing. I'm just going to list off some paranormal thingies.
Okay.
And you're just going to tell me if you have any thoughts, beliefs, anything. First up, synchronicities.
What?
You probably have had them, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you read into it like it's a paranormal thing, or?
Someone burns their hand on a stove and you feel it kind of thing, or?
Oh, that's an interesting take. I mean, usually like a sign, like deja vu, or
yes.
Like, I was just thinking that and then it happened.
I've always felt like, and this is a good argument for any sort of paranormal anything. To me, deja vu always felt like I saw that in a dream. So you basically dreamed the future, which is crazy to think about. That
to me is like, you know, paranormal.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be a good argument because I just don't know any other. I'm sure there's probably something chemical that happens when you, but it's just like, no, I saw that and I heard that thing. This happened already. Uh-huh. This happened already for me. And I get it. I wouldn't say like it's once a week, but it's happened regularly enough in my life to just go, okay, well, there's another deja vu. Deja vu to me is very eerie.
Yeah.
Always has been. It's not like one of those things like weird. It feels as if where I was like, no, it's not as if. It is.
To me, it's confirmation.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just real spiritual, but I'm like, okay, I thought this was going to happen. It did happen.
Right.
That means that this is supposed to happen.
Yeah. It was like the kind of like dead zone-ish in a way, you know.
Dead zone.
Without you. But you never knew it was coming. So you never.
Can you think of times that something like that has happened to you?
No, actual premonition? No.
Or like, are there certain things, if you hear this song, then you know that. I don't know. Like, okay, for me, I had this time period in my life where my life was a mess for maybe about 10 years. And I would always be in my car, like, what the hell is my life? And then I would look and I would see a stray cat. I would see stray cats. And I kept thinking, like, this only happens to me. I mean, whatever. Whatever. I don't know. You could read into it a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember thinking, like, this, I always see stray cats when my life is like in shambles. Now, sure, I'll see a stray cat from time to time now, but like, it was just like a weird thing where I'm like, this feels like a sign. I feel like these cats are like, girl, get it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny when you said, when you when we were talking about me coming on the show and you were like, have you ever had a paranormal thing happen to you? I really haven't, but I remember being dead set on that I did in a moment, but then it passed. It was one of the scariest times of my life. My parents used to, when we'd go to the Oregon coast, we'd get another family and we'd rent a house. And houses in the coast at that point were like kind of these shambling, like old houses. And like, you know, Oregon coast is not a place you generally go to. It's like fun in the sun. It's like, yeah, for a month. The rest of the year it's raining, it's gray. You know, you think, you're like, there's definitely people doing rituals on the beach. This is such a fucked up place. And it's beautiful, but it's just very, it's very gothic in its own way. And I remember just walking around this house. I remember it was a sunny day and none of the sun was getting into the house. Like the windows were very small and things. And I went up in the attic and I looked, and at the very, there's like, you know, you look through a crawl space. At the back of the crawl space was a woman's head smiling at me. And I almost fell down the stairs. It was that feeling where you feel like your heart's going to stop. And it was in these moments that just like, that was so fucked up. Because I was convinced there was a ghostly head right there.
Can I cut out the part when you reveal that it wasn't a ghost?
It was a Vogue. But it's one of those things. It's like, what are the odds that this magazine, and it's perfectly preserved back there. Like someone had
maybe
wrenched
someone
it and
did
just
it on
tossed
purpose.
It. Maybe someone angled it. I don't know. But it was like.
That is creepy.
I remember having that. And I'm just remembering we talked about how the correlation between comedy and horror. I have a bit on one of my albums about, it's called The Ghost of the Two-Man Party, and it's on I think Shovel Fighter, and it's a story of my friend and I just getting wasted in college in his mom's house when his mom was out of town, and things just started getting moved around the house, and we were convinced that it was a ghost, and we picked up weapons and we went room to room
so you could kick that ghost's ass.
Well, and we were like, oh, someone's here, and we were terrified. Oh, okay. let's find him. And we didn't find him, and we just went, well, it's a ghost. I only bring it up because I've had the crazy amount of like college kids tell me they used to listen to that, or you know, we all get high and listen because it's like it's funny, and then you're like, ah, and you scream, you know, because it's like the thought
that
you just went,
actually also terrifying.
It's horrifying.
Well, one of my biggest fears is somebody living in the walls or like living in the attic.
Oh yeah, that's a big mine for me too, for sure.
Which is also could be an explanation for a lot of ghost stories.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that person died in the wall, and then it's a ghost, you know?
Okay, what do you think of past lives?
That's a tough one for me because I just – it's like, well, so what? Does everything have past lives? Do cows? Do dogs? Okay. I think, you know, a big thing I kind of rely on a lot in terms of any kind of explanation is like, you know – energy doesn't end, it just changes.
Yeah.
So, sure, I could see going from thing to thing. The thing I when I try to be positive in my life, especially now where it's like I definitely have depressive fits and have times where I'm full of anxiety and stuff, but it's like in general, I feel like I said this to my wife, it's like I wonder who I'm going to be next. Because I've had a real good time being Matt Bronger.
Yes.
And I wish everybody would just say that about themselves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And just be like, you know, not that it's all about having a good time, but kind of is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's inspiring.
Just
being like,
so just think about and to not be so attached. One of the craziest ideas to me is like the fact that I'm going to die. Like if I died now, I'd just be wearing this shit. I'd be wearing shorts and high socks and walking around in the clouds forever. And kind of this is how I'd always look.
No,
like,
you get to pick what you want.
Okay. That's a better idea. But I just don't think we keep our physical form if we are, say, like ghosts or whatnot, you know. But I kind of like – I've never heard you choose. I like you choose.
I think it seems like you get to choose how – or – your most happiest or something. I had a friend the other day. It's not really my story to tell, so I'll leave them anonymous. But they called me and said that their adorable dog who recently passed came back and visited them in a dream.
Whoa.
And the dog was like sick and older, but it was like a little puppy again.
Oh.
And my friend was like, this was not a dream. This was like,
that's
my
cool.
dog was here. So I think that sometimes you get to go back to like.
I'm only laughing because I just think I'm imagining – let's say, like, you or I, we die at the same time, and a couple of our friends die, you know, and we see them, and we definitely have made some adjustments to ourselves, like a little younger or whatever, but like some of our friends are like, what are you doing with those arms? You didn't. You're not ripped like that. You know.
Yes,
like,
I am.
Like someone's just stacked or whatever. Like you know, just like yeah. beautifully, like you know, in Olympian woman shape. You're like, no. What is
Why
this?
Not? I
Who
mean,
are
I,
you?
That happens on for, Instagram. For, people will tag like, me, and I'm like, I was in that picture with you. You did not have those cheekbones. How did you do that?
Yeah. For like at least 50 years in heaven, we're just clowning them. We're just yeah. like, you're gonna keep that? I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who you are? That would, if be, we very, get to that choose, would be very fun.
Okay, let's do one last one. What do you think of time travel?
I always thought that one was complete and utter bunk. But now that, you know, they've had that thing where, was it like a smaller version of whatever, the smaller than a molecule or an atom disappears over here and appears over here. When they look under like real deep, kind of microscopic levels of life.
Oh, see, I don't know.
And
about
so the thing will just go and it'll be over here. And they're like, well, we would have seen it and it didn't. We slowed it down. It didn't zip. It was gone and then it was here. And so there's that. There's also the concepts that like Einstein would put across, that like time is not what we think it is. And it's like, yeah, we're still basically apes. We're still basically like just going, yeah, but I think. And it's like, you don't know. Uh-huh. So for me to go, I couldn't imagine how it would work to actually go back or go forward. Like, how would you make that happen? But there might be a time where someone, I mean, I'm scared of that. I'm very scared of someone using that technology for their own ends.
Messing
or kind of,
something up.
Yeah, because it's just, if there's one thing I believe in human greed, and it makes, you know, that pebble of evil, you throw that into the mix and it just pollutes the whole soup. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's interesting, but that's the one thing you've said that I go, I hope it's not real.
I know.
You know, like I don't really hope ghosts aren't real. I just think it's an interesting idea, and it's I like the kind of gothic romanticism of it in a little bit, and kind of having the essence of the past kind of still be with us and things like that, or the fact that, I mean, Scott Thompson did a one person show about his brother who died, and his brother had problems his entire life, and Scott had a breakdown at one point after he was gone and was like, I'm just fucking, you know, just doing total Scott, like I'm tired and I don't need this shit. And he goes, if you could just tell me you're okay, or it was something like that, and a light turned on in his house, like next to him. And it's one of those, and he's like, no bullshit. I know it sounds like bullshit, but it's like, to me, I'm like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Just, you know, not the fucking, you just assume a form in front of you with glowing white, too much brilliance, but just something inane.
A little sign.
Like a little sign, a song starts playing, like something like that, that just go, you know, I love the story of Houdini and his wife, where whichever one would die first. Please let me know that it's, and neither one, they never, she died first and she never, you know, he never got any evidence of her saying something. But at the same time, maybe, you know, that was also her choice in a sense, to be like, he thinks he wants this sign, but it's not going to do well for him.
Who knows when you die? You might learn a whole set of rules. Who knows?
100%. If nothing else, I hope we get real perspective. I hope we get like, oh, that's what it's about.
Yes.
You know, okay. I thought, because that's the thing I've learned as I've gotten older, is I can on a weekly basis take the stuff I learned the week before and throw away half of it and go, nope, I thought it was this.
Uh-huh.
Because I shouldn't say learned. I surmised. I know how it is.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't. So, you know, you talk to me 10, 15 years ago, I would probably be a little more cynical on this thing. But now I'm just like, I just don't know. It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then maybe something will happen where you're like, okay, I can't explain that.
Right.
Maybe it'll open your mind. So what if somebody was like, hey, we need you to stay in this hotel room for this job or whatever, and it is very haunted.
Yeah.
What would you, how would you feel about that? Would you be scared?
That would probably freak me out because I have a pretty fertile imagination, and I've always been that, I always had that fear that I think most of us had where it's just like, if I think of it, I'll manifest it. It'll come
totally.
True because something dark is listening to me and has the power to make this thing form.
Yeah.
And will.
Well, I'm always like, a ghost is probably so excited that I'm here. Like, they're going to totally want to hang out with me.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
all the boring people that come to this hotel room, like, this ghost is probably like, jackpot.
No offense to those dudes. The paranormal dude just showed me.
The ghost
but
adventures.
My God. Bro.
Bro.
There's no chair, bro.
There's a wind there's that no smells like sulfur.
You show up and you're interesting and have a sense of style.
Yes.
And you're not literally everyone at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
6-inch heels.
That ghost will be like, oh my God, thank you.
Thank you, breath of fresh air.
Can you just sit with me and tell me what's going on lately? Because I just keep having dudes in fucking affliction shirts that are too tight on their beer bellies. And I'm just getting fed of it. Listen, one or two, great. But give me a mix.
Yes.
Is there more?
How do we sell this show?
I'm from the 1800s. Do you have any black friends?
Oh my God.
I never was allowed to have any. Like, so you just never know. You know, that kind of thing.
See, I want to ghost hunt for like queer ghosts and like show them what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Take them around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show them what it's like these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, this is about it. This is it. We did it.
Oh, I love it. This is so fun.
Tell me about your special.
It's called Doug. It's named after a terrible man I met on vacation with my wife. And it's just, in 2020, I had a special all set. And then, as you know, there was a hoax that kept, no. As I put it, all the dick joke emporiums closed down. So my job went away, but we had a kid, so I became just a stay-at-home dad. And over the course of like a year, I threw away a lot of my material because we did everything from have this kind of strangely healthy pandemic experience because I've just cocooned with this kid, but also we dropped it all, lost our minds, and drove 3,300 miles across the country from L.A. to Boston during an election year in an electric car with California plates through the South. So I got a lot of stories out of that, a lot of which are just, well, I thought it was this, but no, it's this, and it's better than they've been telling us in terms of interactions and things like that. But also flashing back to my more garbage days where I was working horrible jobs, but I was strangely happy, and why is that? And then kind of my marriage to what I call a pirate woman, like my wife is incredible. There's stuff I didn't even talk about because it would take up too much time. I was at my wife's first wedding. And wasted and going,
wow.
I'm not in love with that person, even though we hooked up like a week ago. Like, I could write a book about the dysfunction of our relationship and how it led to a good thing. And now.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it just ends in the story, a funny story about this guy we met on vacation where we were definitely like the least rich people at this very exclusive resort. We like got turned in all these frequent flyer miles and we're like, let's go to Anguilla. And this really rich dude and his wife – were so bad. I really think, especially speaking as a man, we need obviously many good examples, but of course, just like people need fresh air, we need bad ones too. You have to meet that guy and be like, I can never fucking be you, man. You know? So it's like, I like to drink. I like to party. I will not be embarrassing at the expense of my kid, all that jazz. They were people who judged everybody and were, let's just say, racially insensitive and were in active resentment the fact that they had three kids, as if they were ordered at gunpoint to procreate or something. Where my wife and I hadn't even talked about having a kid yet. I don't even think we were maybe engaged, I forget. But it's just kind of this story of going through, and it's got this crazy twist ending where I call someone out of the audience and it's a big reveal. And I did it for the better part of a year, this hour, move stuff around. But I always close the Doug story because I'd bring a stranger on stage. And it's like a magic trick reveal. And I used to have to put out fires whenever I'd play a club or a theater where people would just post it. And I'd go, can we take this down? I'm saving it. And they'd go, oh, sure.
Oh,
and they did to a man or a woman, a non-binary person. They all took them down. They all took them down, and it was like, okay, thank God. And so now this is this thing, and it's on video on demand now, so you kind of rent it like a cheaper movie or something. Uh-huh. But I'm only doing that, you know, not only to pay for the production cost, but also kind of be like, ooh, save the reveal. You know what I mean? Don't tell. So
I love that, having like a magic trick or a
– Yeah, and I just want it to be a cathartic hour where you just kind of just go, I just want to forget what's going on in the world for a minute, but – have a little bit of uplift, but just to have fun. Like I'm trying to promote it as something to be like, just chill out, get friends together and watch it under like a party thing. I've had people that send me pictures of like everybody in the living room, we're watching Doug kind of thing.
Amazing.
So, and it's also a fun dichotomy because every other Doug I met in my life is awesome. Like, Dougs are super chill. Like that was so ironic that this douchebag was named Doug.
Of all names, you know? The one Doug.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, where do people find it?
You just put in Matt Bronger or Doug on whatever app you're looking at. It won't, not Netflix, because Netflix is all free if you pay the subscription, but literally any other thing that has, like, you can rent stuff. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking
thanks
ghosts
for
with
me
and getting
Roz.
Weird.
It was super great. This was awesome. What a fun podcast. And I loved having like a chance to just like riff with you, but also be like, oh, let's get like a little sincere and weird and like talk about what we really believe based on our life experiences. Like that was so fun, because as soon as people say ghosts, you go, ugh. But it's like, I like scary stuff. I like weird stuff. Like, let's get into it.
I think we all have thoughts on this stuff, whether we actually ever think about it or not, and I think it's fun to have this podcast, because it kind of makes a lot of people think about this for the first time when they come on, or they've never shared their thoughts on this. I think it's an interesting way to get to know people, or to just, I don't know, it's just a different side of people that it's fun to explore.
Yeah, it's not something you typically find people being comfortable talking about in like a cocktail party setting.
Well,
you guys believe
me.
In ghosts?
That's
well,
me.
No, but you're awesome. That makes you different.
I go to people and I go, tell me, what do you think of a ghost? You've been to the Los Feliz Murder Mansion? Let's go.
Let's break in.
Thank you, Matt Bronger. Check out his special. Are you following this show? Please follow it, subscribe to it, like it, do all those nice things, tell your friends about it. Rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'm on Instagram. I've been posting. I post the most I've ever posted in my life. That's at Roz Hernandez. TikTok and Twitter at It's Roz Hernandez. I got a listener episode coming at you next week, and I want you to be on an upcoming one, so you know what to do. Email ghostedbyroz@gmail.com with the subject line listener episode, and put some bullet points of your different paranormal stories. I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.